Hi, welcome tonight. We're live, and I'm here with my lovely wife, Joanna. There's the Queen's Wave, and I am David. We are the Herebeatians, virtualchurchmedia.com. Tonight, we are in a live audience. Everybody say hello.
Hello.
Woo!
So we broadcast on a weekly basis unless we're traveling for ministry, and we love to share the Word of God locally here in Orlando. We also love to put the Word of God out on electronic digital record, out through social media, television broadcast, and also on audio. So you can learn more at virtualchurchmedia.com. You can also download our mobile app, and the mobile app will enable you to access our content online, on demand, from the palm of your hand, accelerated growth using technology. And there's an example of the mobile app. You can just download it. If you're watching on a desktop, you can pick up your phone and scan, and it will pull you right in to our website and give you a choice of Android or Apple. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about a very interesting subject. You know, we have virtual church media. And so that's electronic. At 4:30 in the morning a couple of days ago, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And he began to speak to me about becoming transhuman. Now you're going to say, what is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. So everything in life has a positive and everything has a negative. A yin and a yang is what, you know, certain people say. The Bible says a good and a bad. A positive and a negative. There's light, there's darkness, right? There's truth, there's error. There's top, there's bottom. And so tonight we're going to talk and we're going to get into this because this is a very real issue that's taking place in the earth, and it's taking place more rapidly than you know. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I will reject you, says the Lord, from being my priest." We're all called to be priests and kings under our God. The last thing we want to do is be destroyed from lack of knowledge. The enemy's ability to keep us bound, inhibited, controlled, is commensurate or equal to his ability to keep us ignorant. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. We're not to be ignorant of the enemy's devices, 2 Corinthians 2:11. So we are not going to be ignorant anymore. We're going to educate ourselves from the Word of God. The Bible says in the last days, Daniel, I think it's 12:3, in the last days, knowledge will increase. We're right now in the information age. 15 years ago, after I'd done 20 calendar years in federal prison, 20 years, and I came out, knowledge was doubling every 12 months. So once a year, knowledge doubled. Within a few years, it was doubling every 9 months. The next thing you know, it was doubling every 6 months. So 15 years later, remember I said we're in the information age, in the last days, knowledge will increase. With artificial intelligence now, where you can literally speak into a phone, GPT-4 chat, or chat GPT-4, you can also use BART AI, Claude AI, Anthropic. There's so many things that it literally goes out, it searches all the information on the internet, and within seconds, it will show you how to write a book, build a business plan, put things out in legal paper. People are now cheating in school because they're having GPT chat in seconds do their homework for them. And then they're running it through another app to change the terminology to where it can't be shown that it was GPT chat that did it. Again, artificial intelligence, AI. I mean, when I was a kid, you used to have like little crib notes. You'd actually have to go and do a bunch of work. Now it's done for you. And so the argument would be, is it about getting the work done or is it about learning the information? And the answer in school is it's about learning the information. But in the work world, it's about getting the job done. So we don't want to like reject technology, but we also don't want it to supplant our free will. And this is where we get into the place where God's given us volition, free choice. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had a choice. And as long as you have a choice, those things are serving you. When they dictate to you, they begin to take over your personality, your mind. They begin to dictate to you instead of you assessing the situation with the tools that are being released into the earth. Did you know that all technology really belongs to God? God created technology. He gave wisdom to men to create it. However, technology makes a great servant, but it makes a horrible master. So tonight we're going to get into this, and what is transhumanism? And so the question is this. Transhumanism is the belief or theory that the human race can evolve beyond its current physical and mental limitations, especially by means of science and technology. It is rooted, or transhumanism is rooted in the belief that humans can and will be enhanced by the genetic engineering and information technology of today, as well as anticipated advances such as bioengineering, artificial intelligence, and molecular nanotechnology. The result is an iteration of Homo sapiens enhanced or augmented, but still fundamentally human. Women get augmentations, don't they? They add tucks, additions, top, back, side, whatever, right? And so it's your body, you can do with it what you want. It doesn't change your choice in what you're doing. You choose to have that added or augmented. And that's one thing. Men, they love to do it with their BMWs and supercars. They like to add things and they augment their cars. It's an augmentation. And so these are choices. But taking the human body and making it better through methods such as genetic modification, nanotechnology, melding the human body with artificial intelligence. This is where you begin to cross what I consider to be a bright line, or you get into a gray area. So what is it then? The term transhumanism gained widespread currency in 1990 following its formal inauguration by Max Moore, the CEO of Alcor Life Extension Foundation. Everybody wants to live longer, don't they? We want to live forever. And with the born-again experience, we will live forever. Do you know that you can be born and you can be born again and never really die? Or you can be born once without being born again and you can die and you're still going to be living forever. Just, you know, might be a sign up that says no smoking. So, you know, you want to hear good, well done, good and faithful servant on that day when you stand before the Lord, not well done, crispy critter. So what is the term transhumanism? So it refers to the belief, or an optimistic belief, that in the enhancement of the human condition through technology in all of its forms. Its advocates believe in fundamentally enhancing the human condition through applied reason and a corporeal embrace of new technologies. Remember I said technology 15 years ago doubled every 12 months? Then it was 9 months, then it was 6 months. Then it was 1 month. Do you want to know what it is today in 2023? We're recording this in late October. Technology now doubles with artificial intelligence every 12 hours. Wow. So it used to be technology would double every 1,000 years, and then it was 500, then it was 100 years. Then it went technology with the Industrial Revolution began to double every 20 years. That it was rapid in the information age. So transhumanism is a philosophical and intellectual movement which advocates the enhancements of the human condition by developing and making widely available sophisticated technologies that can greatly enhance longevity and cognition. We have men coming back from war that are missing legs. And with technology, they're giving them replacement legs to enhance their life. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
To be able to get your legs back. And what's interesting is people are learning to run on these new metal alloy legs or titanium, and they're able now to run faster than a person with regular legs. So now all of a sudden, is it legal for a handicapped person that has their legs blown off in war to get prosthetic legs made out of titanium that now give them an edge against a human? Is that fair? We wouldn't race a regular person against a handicap. We'd have people that are equally. So now it's shifting in technology. Do you want to know what children are saying now? Gosh, if I could run faster like that, I'd be willing to do the operation to have my legs removed so I could get new technology that would enhance my ability. Do you know they did a study and they said, if you could take steroids today to enhance your ability and nanotechnology, to enhance your ability to win a gold medal, but you would die within 3 years after you won it. Do you want to know what the percentage of the children in high school that said they would do it? One third. One third of the human race would be willing to give up their life 3 years after they won a gold medal, because that's how people have their identity in achievement and accomplishment instead of identity in the Lord. If you don't know who you are, somebody will trick you out of who you are. They also polled children with phones and said, what would you rather lose, your technology or your sense of smell? 30% said they would rather give up their sense of smell than they would rather give up their technology. So we're in the information age. So transhumanistic thinkers study the potential benefits and dangers of emerging technologies that could overcome fundamental human limitations as well as the ethics of using such technology. Some transhumanists believe that human beings may eventually be able to transform themselves with abilities so greatly expanded from the current condition as to merit the label post-human beings. We're no longer human. We become Borg. We become better. We're enhanced. I know a very smart kid. I'm close with him. Years ago, he told me that if he could have the internet connected to his brain, because I'd had a dream that he was having technology attached to his head. This is 7 years ago. And he's in the tech world. And so when I went to talk with him, he goes, oh, yeah, I would be willing to have technology attached to my brain so I could be smarter. I'm thinking he's already got a genius level IQ. But he who loves money never has money enough. He who loves their own ability and mind never has. It's nothing wrong with doing your best, but to go beyond yourself, apart from the God-given ability he gives us, becomes a danger zone. And I asked him, I said, well, once you connect to the internet with this technology and you can instantly know things and answer questions and you don't have to go study to get it done, you just ask the question electronically and you have the answer back, where does it stop? And his response was, there's no limit. So it's not him being unwilling to give up his identity. He wants to extend beyond his ability to become superhuman. Do you know that God wants us to be superhuman? Do you know that he's given us the ability to become partakers of the divine nature and access the genius mind of Christ? Do you know that God wants us to be beyond human? The world wants us to be transhuman. It's moving pretty quickly. They're now creating 15-minute smart cities. Do you know what that is? A 15-minute smart city is where you're in a city and you can go from one end to the other within 15 minutes. And with the technology, the smart technology, the cameras, the drones, do you know you'll never leave the city without permission? There's C40 cities right now. There's 40 cities in the United States that have already signed on for this. In China, it's already happening. Do you know that you can't leave certain areas in your neighborhood of China because they have 1.2 billion cameras with voice recognition technology and they can spot you. Do you know you can be ticketed for jaywalking in China because of facial recognition and gait, the way you walk? It's recorded your gait technology, gait. The way you walk doesn't even have to have a picture of your face. It can recognize the gait because people have a unique walk. It's not about fingerprints or iridology. It's about facial recognition from satellites and from the cameras and voice recognition technology and gait walk. And they can identify you jaywalking, send you a ticket, debit your account without your permission, and lower your social credit score, all electronically using artificial intelligence technology. And if your credit score, social credit score, is lowered, you can't rent in certain areas, you can't buy. And they can control with CBCD, central banking digital currency, which has already been signed into effect in America in March of this year by our current regime from the presidency, that your dollars can only be used for certain things. Let's say you spent too much on medical this week or this month. You spent too much on gasoline. By the way, this isn't something that is sci-fi in the future. This is something that's already in China. And it's coming to a neighborhood near you. At least 40 cities in America have already agreed to it. Now, when you get technology, you gain a benefit from it. Technology, in a lot of ways, makes your life easier. But you know, life, we're actually called to have some level of struggle. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he struggled through or suffered, Hebrews 4:15. So we're called to have struggle. Not everything's supposed to be so easy. And so there's a balance here. I'm going somewhere with this because we're going to get into the divine nature of the Almighty, how you can get all the upgrades you want. Use technology and make it your servant, but don't allow technology to be your master. Money is a wonderful tool. Money makes a wonderful servant, but it makes a terrible master. What have people done for money? He who serves God for money will serve the devil for better wages. I'm going to give you some examples of some technology that we use. Today we have a smartphone, and almost everybody has one. Yet, you're tracked. Your buying habits, your listening habits, your browser record, everything is stored, and your data is sold repeatedly. You get marketed. You talk to somebody about something, you leave the room, and all of a sudden you get an ad about that thing that you were talking about because your smartphone is listening. Alexa's listening. Everything is now listening with artificial intelligence technology. We slowly gained the benefit, but we also simultaneously gave up certain privacy rights. And for each person, it's different. You may not have a problem giving up those rights, because you gained a benefit. Everything in the life is on the trading floor. You exchange something. Here's some positive examples of technology. How about hearing aids? You know, we've seen a lot of healing miracles in our services when it comes to hearing. There was a season when the healing anointing for ears to pop open was somewhere between 70 to 80% of the people that I prayed for would get healed. Boom, 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 they were just popping open. And we even had one person, Joanna can attest to this, and we were in Victorville, California, where a person that had no, he was born without any hearing, ear parts, no anvil, stirrup, hammer, no eardrum, no nothing. And I didn't know that when we prayed for him, and I had a vision of this, like, saxophone came down. It was beautiful, and it was like brassy gold, and it came into his ear, and I saw all these parts come in, and I didn't know why I was seeing this. And all of a sudden, he could hear out of the ear. And so he had the ability suddenly, and it really shocked his wife, who was a worship leader, that God had done that creative miracle. Now, if he'd have told me he didn't have those body parts, he was born without them, I would not probably have had the faith. But God wanted to do something in his life, and it was clearly miraculous. Now, does that happen on demand? No. Those are sovereign moves of God. And that healing anointing for deaf ears has ebbed and flowed in my life. I've been in some services where they just pop open like that. I've been in other services where there's a labor. And so there's a time and a season. Now, I could press in, reopen that portal, and really dig in through prayer and fasting and go after deaf ears. I don't feel the calling to do that, but I'm also never back off on a deaf ear. And so God does miracles in a lot of different ways. And for people that don't always get a miracle, thank God for technology of hearing aids. There's even people that get cochlear implants, and you can see they have an implant on one side of their head and over here, and they get their life back. People have eye surgeries now that are absolutely amazing, and they get their eyesight back. It's wonderful. People have hearing aids, artificial hearts. I have a friend who got a some sort of staph infection, very healthy guy. I mean, just like stud. And the next thing you know, he's dying of a heart condition. So while they're waiting to get him a donor heart, they put in an electronic heart. And so it would move so fast that he would have to eat repeatedly, like 2 to 3 times more than he regularly ate, because it moved so fast that at pump they had to get that thing dialed in. But he had that electronic heart that saved his life for like a year. Then a donor came in. Now he's got a donated heart. And so he's alive, and he is at the top of his game in an area where he sells like roofing, and he's provided for his family. And he's got energy for days because of a heart transplant from somebody else's body. But it was an electronic heart that saved his life for a year until he could get one. Pacemakers. My dad died at 90, and we were fortunate. God had raised him back up to life. He actually died 3 times at 90 in front of my mother and my wife, Joanna, who was my fiance at the time. But instead of going to a funeral, she said, not on my watch. She says, Tom, in the name of Jesus, I command your spirit to get back in your body and come back to life now. And he came back to life. Anyway, we had the ambulance come. They tested him, couldn't find anything wrong with him. I said, no, take him to the emergency room. They couldn't find anything there. I said, please put him on a sleep study. They put him on a sleep study and found out his heart was stopped. They gave him a pacemaker. And he said to me, so I don't want a pacemaker. I just want one of those miracles. I'm like, Dad, you died 3 times. You were raised 3 times back to back over a period of like 10 minutes. I said, you know, God uses technology. So am I against technology today? No, I'm not. I love technology because all technology is from God. Just like televisions are neutral. Internet is neutral. Your phone is neutral. Do you know that firearms are neutral? It depends on who's pulling the trigger, whether they protect life, whether they take life. It depends on who's behind the cell phone, who's behind the remote control on what you watch on TV. And so these are choices what you do with your computer and your browser history. So you can either make it your servant and enhance your life that God's given you for good, or you can use it for bad, good and evil, light and dark. And you can also allow it to take over your mind. I was casting demons out of a man who was a Christian assistant pastor. And because of rejection, he began to go out into the internet, and he ended up getting bound in pornography. And he said that when he would stumble in this area, and he hated himself for it, he hated what would occur. And he said it was as if once he looked, just for a little bit, it was as if something came into him. And it was like his hand was moving the mouse for the next 4 hours. And it's like he couldn't stop. He said, it was as if I was outside of my body and something else was controlling me until it ended. And afterward, I would feel disgusted with myself. And he said, he was a married man. He had children. And this was a besetting sin in his life. But it was like something took him over. But then he would get free, pray for him, and then he would go watch worship and great teachings for hours and hours. He would be filled with the Spirit. He'd go out and evangelize. He'd pray for the sick, and they'd be healed. And he'd be fine for months, if not a couple of years. And all of a sudden, he would stumble again. And he would call me and share, and you know, he'd be in tears. It's broken. So technology can be used for good or for evil. So again, we're not against technology. But is it your servant, or is it your master? And Does it remove your volition, your choice? The minute you no longer choose, but it chooses for you, is where I believe it crosses the line. Other areas, so we've got artificial hearts, prosthetic legs, prosthetic arms, bionic eyes, tablets that I'm on right now, it enhances. Smart watches. I know a guy whose life was saved by a smartwatch. It recognized an anomaly in his heartbeat and it called 911. And God used technology in his life to save his life through his smartwatch that was connected to the internet. However, the same thing that's used to save your life with the wrong people in charge can send a signal to your phone or your watch and disrupt your heart. That is a weapon. And that's a whole nother conversation. Mm-hmm. So we don't live in the fear world with Wi-Fi, smart electrical meters, smart TVs. We also have to realize what we're dealing with in transhumanism. Now, adversity is part of life. It is a lesson of life, and struggle helps build character. The scripture says this in 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." 1 Peter 4:12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Now, the King James reads it a little bit differently. It says, when you reproach for the name of Christ, the Spirit of God and his kabod, his glory, his doxa, his manifest, tangible, weighty presence, where God arises as and enemies are scattered. When God's Spirit and his glory, the weightiness that rests upon you. I was in a prison cell in 1990. The glory of God appeared. It was tangible like a cloud. Drank from the cloud. I spoke to the cloud. Do you know Jesus? It sparked gold and silver, gold and platinum, and it stayed with us for 2 hours, and God did miracles. And so there's a tangible, visible, weighty presence of the glory of God. 2 Chronicles 5:13 and 14, "And there came into the place a cloud as they sang in one accord in unison, 'The Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. The Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever.'" Of course, they probably did it in Hebrew. And as they sang that chorus, there came a cloud of his presence into the room, and the people and the minstrels that were singing with all the musicians and the instruments, they couldn't even stand up. They fell out under the power. 2 Chronicles 5:13 and 14. They could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. In other words, the cloud was so overwhelming. I've experienced that cloud of his presence on more than one occasion. I pray that God does it for you, because once you've experienced that encounter, that atmosphere of heaven, you want more of it. It's better than anything you can get on the planet that's been created, because you've connected with the Creator. There is no high like the Most High. And so what happened is, when you're reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he's blasphemed or evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. But let none of you, 1 Peter 4:15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. It's interesting that God would group murderer, thief, evildoer, and busybody. In Italian, I think it's nosy babuna. Like, get your nose in somebody else's business. Do you know that people will often call me and tell me something about somebody else, and I'll be like, wow, let's pray for them. And they're like, well, you know, I'm just calling you just to let you know. I'm like, okay. They're a nosy baboon. They've got their nose in some. The Bible calls them a busybody in other men's matters. Do you know that being a busybody in other men's matters, where you put and insert yourself where your God hasn't sent you, do you know it's actually grouped with murderer, thief, an evildoer? Amen or ouch? Hallelujah or heretic? Was either anointed or annoying, I'm not sure. But we need to check ourselves where we wreck ourselves. So let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, as a busybody. When you reproach for the name of Christ, because you're suffering for Christ, because you're contending, that's when the Spirit of God and glory comes upon you. Oh, God, I want to operate in your glory. Are you ready to be reproached for the name of Christ? Okay, so that being said, get this. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. This is Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 3. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. When does the glory come? When the darkness is here. Do you know if I turned on my cell phone light right now, because there's lighting facing us, you would hardly even notice. You'd see like a little light coming out. But if we turned off all the lights in here, and I turn the light on my cell phone, it would beam and it would help guide the way out of here. So when the dark becomes darker, even a small light becomes brighter. And so when you look at diamonds at a store, they don't put them on clear glass, they put them on black velvet so you can see the contrast and the reflection. God is about to show up. He always saves the best wine for the last. The book of Acts is going to look like a Presbyterian picnic in comparison to what God is getting ready to do. And God is now wanting to pour out on us through the exceedingly great and precious promises that he's given us in the Word, that we might become partakers of the divine nature. What is the divine nature? The divine nature heals the sick, casts out devils. Our body sees not corruption. God will give you reverse aging. We have friends that get in the glory, and it's like they look younger. And you're like, what happened to you? And we have friends that backslide, and they look like they age 10 or 15 years overnight when they fall. What happened to them? The anointing that kept them young lifts. They get back in the glory, they reverse age, because they become partakers. They become beyond human because they partner with a new DNA, the divine nature of the Almighty God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. Listen to this verse, 2 Peter 1:3-4. So as the enemy of our soul is trying to get us to give up our will for technology, where it becomes our master, not our servant, God is wanting to give us liberty, where he causes us to have an upgrade in our technology through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, through the relationship with the Lord, through the genius mind of Christ. The Bible says, allow this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ. In another place, it says, arm yourself with this same mind. In another place, it says, but you have the mind of Christ. Well, which is it? Do we allow it? Do we take action and arm ourselves? Or do we have it? And the answer is yes. We do all three. Because positionally, we have the mind of Christ. But in our condition on the earth, we have to allow this mind to be in us. Then we have to show ourselves approved unto God, studying the Word of God day in and day out, to where our mind becomes transformed through the renewing of our minds, through the washing of the water of the Word. Be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed through the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is the good, the better, the best, the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God, the 30, the 60, the 100-fold harvest, the body, the soul, the spirit, the past, the present, the future, the Egypt, the wilderness, the Canaan, land of promise, the past, the present, the future. It goes on and on and on the threes of the outer courts, the inner courts, and the holy of holies. You know, to really understand the book of Revelation, you need to understand the tabernacle of the Old Testament. Know ye not that you are the temple of God in the New Testament, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Therefore, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when we get born again, our spirit man becomes perfect instantly. A third of us is perfect. God's still working on the other two-thirds, our mind and our body. Do
Do you know that your flesh will never know God as Father? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We put off corruption and we put on incorruption. But your spirit, man, the minute you're born again, knows the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and another they will not follow. John 5:19 says, Jesus says, I never do anything of my own. I only do the things that I see the Father do. The things that the Father does, the Son does likewise. So we see it in the Spirit, in prayer, with the eyes of our spirit. And then we walk it out in the natural through our soul and our body. And then God's will is then done in earth as it is in heaven. Do you know you can release the Father's will into the earth through obedience? And you can release the enemy's will into the earth from hell through disobedience. We get to choose. There's always a choice that we get to make. And when God gives us a choice, he never forces us to do the right thing. Do you know that God's will is that none perish, 2 Peter 3:9? But all come unto repentance. Do you know that God's will not be done? Because not everyone's going to come to repentance. But God's will is that none perish. Jesus died on the cross, hung up for our hangups. For all of humanity, all of mankind, and God's will is that none perish. But all men change their mind and get the mind of Christ. Come to Jesus. But God's will is not going to be done because he never takes away free choice, volition. I have set before you death and life, blessing and cursing. You choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, Joshua 24:14-15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But do you know that not everybody chose to serve the Lord? Do you know that I didn't always choose to serve the Lord? You didn't always choose to serve the Lord. It was a choice. You know, God has no grandchildren in heaven, only sons and daughters. Your grandchild cannot get into heaven on your faith. Your faith will help draw them to the choice and more opportunities to receive Jesus. But your faith cannot get them to heaven. It's their choice whether they want to go to heaven. And by the way, everybody's going to heaven, just not everybody's staying. It's appointed for man to die once and then face the judgment. So we don't just want to go to heaven, we want to stay. And how do we stay? We need an advocate in the courtroom of heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. But we have an advocate with the Father who forever liveth to make intercession for the saints of God before the throne of God and is able to save from the uttermost to the guttermost those that come to God by him. Hebrews 7:24-25. We have an advocate. If you go to court and you don't know the rules, you're going to be defeated by the prosecutor. But we have the best attorney in the world. And the prosecutor is going to say, well, they did this and they did that and they did this and they did that. And the attorney's going to come in and say, yes, but my blood cleansed them from it all. And my blood paid the bill. Other people are going to show up and say, yeah, I did that, but I was a pretty good person. I was better than so-and-so. And they don't have the blood that cleanses and negates the charges. Isn't it wonderful that we become partakers of the divine nature? Listen to this verse. His divine power is given to us all things. This is 2 Peter 1:3-4, New King James Version. His divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. Over 8,000 promises in the Bible. That through these promises, you might be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We get to become beyond human with the divine nature. What are some of the things that Jesus was able to do? He walked on water. That's pretty cool, isn't it? He raised the dead, didn't he? That's pretty cool. Do you know he walked through walls in his resurrected state? That's pretty cool, isn't it? Well, in the New Testament, guess what happened? The disciples also did some pretty cool stuff. They cast out devils. They cleanse the lepers. They raise the dead. In fact, one of the disciples went to go preach, Philip. And he went to go preach to the Ethiopian eunuch. And after he preached to him in the chariot and he showed him Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions, the chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we were healed. The Ethiopian eunuch gives his life to Jesus. They went down and got baptized. And then it says, and Philip was taken up. He was transported to Azotus. He was 38 miles away. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So he was transported. He had heavenly technology that took him from one location to another. Elijah had supernatural technology. It's called the Holy Spirit. Elijah knew what the king was speaking in his bedroom and knew what the war move was. He had better than artificial intelligence technology. He had the genius mind of heaven, and God revealed to him all the things that he needed for his assignment. The scripture says in 1 John, you have need that no man teach you, even as the anointing teaches you all things. Even then, it teaches you to abide in Christ. In Christ, we live and move and have our very being. Do you know that no weapon formed against you prospers, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment is condemned? Condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, declares the Lord. Isaiah 54, 15 through 17. So God wants to clothe you with power. But tarry here, wait here, and you will be clothed with power from on high. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. You'll be changed into another man. You'll be able to prophesy. I didn't say prophesy. You'll be able to prophesy. And when you have that power come upon you, like Samson did, he was able to slay 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. That is beyond human. And then, when he was thirsty, from slaying 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey, he was so thirsty because he was still human. Then God did a miracle through the jawbone, and the jawbone started to squirt water out of it and refreshed him. Naaman was told to go wash in the dirty river. And as he dipped 7 times, he came up cleansed of leprosy. There was a man at the gate, beautiful, who was born crippled from his mother's womb. And Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, Acts chapter 3. But such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they took him by the hand, and immediately the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the miracle-working power of God, came into the man's legs, and strength came in and began to walk and leap and praise God. We get to become partakers of the divine nature. Stephen, signs and wonders flowed from his fingertips as he would preach the gospel. He wasn't an apostle. He was a disciple that started off as a believer, and he began to move up. And as he began to move up in faithfulness, God began to anoint him. And they killed Stephen. He was reproached for the name of Christ in a religious community. They gnashed their teeth at him. Do you know the same fragrance of God's knowledge is diffused in every place when we walk in? To some, it's the aroma of life unto life. They're leaning in. They want more of God. You ever walked in, you began to share God's love, and people are just hungering and thirsting for it? They might be from a lifestyle that you would think they're on the least likely to get saved list, but in that moment, they're so hungry for God. Don't judge people by outward appearance. Other people might look like they're perfect Christians. They've got their Bible, they're perfectly dressed, they don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with girls or guys who do. But when you begin to share the Word of God, they become offended. Because the anointing in you annoys the demons in them, that religious spirit. To one, it's the aroma of life unto life when they're leaning into God. To the other, it's the aroma of death unto death. It's a stench. I remember when I was about a year old in Christ, the glory of God came into a prison cell where we were ministering. A friend of mine, and an RD, was going on to be with the Lord. He was about 6'3", he's a big guy, and he was ministering to a Buddhist guy who was on his top bunk and was in a two-man room. And as I walked by, I recognized the haze, the tangible cloud of God's presence. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, is that the lighting? I looked in, so I opened the door, and I walked in, and it was just the presence of God, and I could just feel it. So I got quiet, and I just began to pray under my breath in the spirit, just enjoying the presence of God as R.D., Robert David, was ministering to this Buddhist man who later got a presidential pardon, and he got out of prison like, you know, 15 years early. And as he was ministering the word, the presence of God was visible, that tangible cloud of his presence, not quite as thick on the prison cell that I'd seen a year earlier with two other inmates, but you could see it was hovering and hanging as it was a teachable moment for this man. And all of a sudden, somebody came walking in who wasn't interested in God. As they walked in, they opened the door, they walked in, it was like they almost got clotheslined by the presence of God. They're like, oh! And they pushed back, and they're like, ran out. Because to one, it was the aroma of life unto life. We were hungry and thirsting for the word of God. To another, it was the aroma of death unto death. The same fragrance of God's knowledge is diffused in every place. But to one, it rejects, or it causes them to be repelled. To another, they're drawn. Do you know the cloud of his presence in the Old Testament during the days of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt? To one, it was a cloud of his presence. To another one, it was a cloud of darkness. So the same thing can manifest in opposite ways based upon God's purposes and the state of the human heart. That Buddhist man never got born again. He got offended by other religious Christians after he'd had that encounter. Now, he might have gotten born again after he got out of prison, but he got a presidential pardon, and he walked out. And he went out and did good things. I saw him on TV and some other things. This was like 1992 or 3, I think he got out. And me as a Christian serving the Lord, I ended up doing 20 of my years, all of it. And God got him out early by grace. And so you never know what God's plans are. Well, whatever they are, you have to commit, regardless of what you go through, regardless of the rewards in this life, regardless of the struggles, regardless of the benefits, you have to commit to serve the Lord, trusting that the Romans 8:28 God will work all things together for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You know, I knew other people that I wrote out of prison early. God anointed my ink pen in response to probably their mother or father's prayers or their prayers, and they probably made vows, God, if you get me out, I'll serve you. They got out. Some of them came right back to prison because they never got the issue resolved that magnetized them toward the behavior that got them into prison in the first place. Others got out and died. Did they go up or down? Every one of them went up, because it's appointed for man to die once and then face the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. But do you know that the goodness of God leads men to repentance? But just because God's goodness, his olive branch, reaches out doesn't mean everyone repents. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate that leads to everlasting life. Tonight, I want to share with you, God is getting ready to upgrade people with the supernatural, the divine nature of the Almighty. God is releasing revelation teaching from the scriptures. That's not new teaching. It's restoring the ancient paths, the ways to walk in. And God is getting ready to show you some things to where you can access the portals of heaven, to access the treasure house of God, to bring those treasures to the earth to meet the needs of people. Jesus multiplied fish and loaves. We're going to see the multiplication of fish and loaves, food. Many of my friends have seen multiplication on the mission field, in the Dominican Republic, in communist Cuba, over in Africa. Israel Augre and his team were funding that crusade right now. We just had another donation come in this afternoon, and we had one come in last week that caused us to have more generator fuel. It cost about $1,000 a day to run the crusade between generator fuel and food, beans and rice. And we're seeing about 2,000 a night come to Christ. So for about $1,000 a day in these crusades in this rural area, about 94 miles outside of Lagos, Nigeria, about 2,000 are coming to Christ a day. And people are hearing of the signs and the wonders and the miracles that are taking place with the book of Acts on full display. The blind eyes are popping open. The deaf ears are popping open.
tumors are shrinking, falling off people's carpal tunnel syndrome from digging in the soil with a little claw thing like we used to do when we had little garden. That's what they have. They don't have the technology, and they're bound in witchcraft and, you know, all these things. They're getting freed by Jesus right now. So if you want to sow $1,000, we'll get the money right over there, and probably another $2,000. So think about that. For the price of Starbucks coffee, about $5, you can win 10 souls, 50 cents a soul. You can also drink the coffee too. Anyway, that being said, 15,000 have come to Christ. We'll have another report this week because they have to come from the rural area into a cell phone zone to where they can send me on WhatsApp the video footage and the pictures and the testimonials and an update on the count of souls. So normally what happens in this situation is people would market with technology to get people to the crusade, but in this situation, God is marketing people through dreams of the night, where a man in a white robe is appearing unto a villager and saying, you need to go to this location on this date to be saved. They're waking from this dream and they're feeling the love of God from this man in the white robe. They show up and we've lit up the sky with the K-15 generator, and or the three of them over there, and it lights up the sky, and they preach Jesus is the light of the world. And then God heals them, delivers them, sets them free from the witchcraft, because heavenly technology visits people in dreams and visions of the night. More than 200 people had a similar dream. So we knew it was a move of God. And so we sent them with beans and rice, 70 kilogram bags of beans, 70 kilogram bags of rice. They bought about 10 of each, broke them up into smaller 1 kilogram bags and gave them out. We have video footage on that. So we're excited about tens of thousands of souls coming to Christ, funded by Americans in another country in a rural area where the average income is $300 to $500 a year, no running water, no electricity, but we're able with technology to preach Jesus as the light of the world. You know, we dug a water well in another city. It was about 340 miles outside of Lagos, and the witch doctors who were doing human sacrifice, they came to Christ. And so all the witch doctor, all the sacrifices stopped. And the good news is this, we bought 4 acres of land from the witch doctor. It was, you know, location, location, location. It's in 55 other villages strategically located. And then we bought that land and we didn't have any water for the cement to build the wall, to fence it, because it required us to build the wall on there. Walls are good things. Anyway, long story short, you need a wall with a door. Jesus says, I am the door. The devil's the wall. Any man goes through the door, they have salvation. Any man runs into the wall, they're driven back. We need walls, but we also need a door. Amen? So Joanna had a vision of two angels coming down with staffs and hitting the ground and water coming up. So we knew that there was water. So we used the money that we had, we're going to use for the cement, and we spent it on water digging equipment. So it took about 2 weeks, torrential rains hit, where there's no water. Now all of a sudden we've got all kinds of it. And after 2 weeks, they finally dug down 798 feet and they hit water through the stone down there. And it comes up 34 degrees. We spent another $2,500, bought a generator. And because of the miracle of the water, people started having dreams that Jesus is the living water. And the physical water that they no longer had to walk round trip 3 miles to bring back water was now just right there in the middle of the village where the witch doctor had his 4 acres of property. And where the devil meant for harm, God turned for good, and it becomes the filling station. So people from other villages come because it's fresh, clean, pure water in accordance with the vision Joanna saw. And we said, dig, there's water there. They call it Jesus water. And how did Joanna get it? Not with artificial intelligence and technology, not with Google Maps, not with researching, not with a water witching thing. She saw it in a vision in prayer. That's technology. That's beyond human. That's the genius mind of Christ that God wants to upgrade us to where we have the sevenfold spirit of God from Isaiah 11, 2 and 3. You know, people from other religions, they talk about the third eye. We talk about the sevenfold spirit of God and the genius mind of Christ. That's child's play. the third eye compared to the genius mind of Christ. In the weeks ahead, we're going to be talking more about biblical going beyond human, from partnering with heaven to where without God we cannot, but do you know without us he will not, because he gave us dominion over the earth. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. These signs will follow you because you believe. In my name you'll cast out demons. You'll speak with new tongues. Somebody slips you a Mickey. You'll pray over it. You'll drink, suffer no harm. You can drink any deadly poison. It will not harm you. You can pick up serpents in your hand. And I'm not talking about Pentecostal serpent carrying and services. If they ask me to do that, I'd be like, I think I'm going to find a door. Test not the Lord thy God. But if you're Paul, and you just come off a shipwreck, and you go to grab a bundle of sticks to put it on the fire, and 276 are saved in Acts 27 and Acts chapter 28, and a serpent comes out and wraps its teeth around you, and it bites you with a venomous beast, you can shake it back into the fire and suffer no harm, because you can pick up deadly serpents in your hand, and it will not harm you. I'm not saying to go drink poison, but if you go with some witch doctors, and they're cannibals, and they're trying to get you, they're trying to poison you, and if God sent you there, you'll pray over your food in the name of Jesus, you'll suffer no harm, and they'll say, this man has some power that we know not of. They'll repent and accept Jesus. I was, that's a crazy story. There was a man years ago, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but he preached to witch doctors, and they were cannibals, and they ended up getting saved. And so when they got saved, they stopped their cannibalism. So they gave him, as an honor gift, the shrunken heads. And so here he's got these shrunken heads. He doesn't want to, like, I don't want your shrunken heads. They were human heads. They were little bitty ones. And so that being said, whatever somebody gives you, I mean, sometimes you accept, sometimes you don't. That's a pretty weird one. But they had given up their witchcraft materials. They were no longer cannibals through the born-again experience. But he went to go preach to them. They wanted to eat him. They wanted to shrink his head. But he expanded their heads with the genius mind of Christ through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. And signs and wonders would happen through him in one service. Everybody in the tent revival was healed. Every single person was healed in that service. And a Native American woman who was born without eyes, eyeballs grew back in, and they were blue. And I believe that kind of anointing, that kind of miracle-working power is coming back to the Church of Jesus Christ. This was during the Voice of Healing days, 1947 to 1958. And that man raised up another man at age 12, who the first message he preached after he had a visitation of Jesus at age 12. That man preached his first service at age 12 in the other man's service, and 500 got saved in his first sermon. He ended up leading almost 2 billion to Christ, and signs and wonders would flow through him. He was a spiritual father to me in the faith, and he gone on to be with the Lord. They're both in heaven, but God is passing mantles down, and fresh mantles, and he's reviving mantles from the past of authority and signs and wonders because we need it for such a time as this. With the technology that's now released into the earth, and how you're being encouraged to become transhuman, not where technology serves you and enhances your ability to make an impact for the kingdom, but where it's no longer servant, it becomes master, and it takes away your free will. And it dictates to you what you can do. We need the technology of heaven. We need the precious, exceedingly wonderful promises of God, that we might mix the promises with faith and become partakers of the divine nature. Final verse, Hebrews 4:3. 4:2 and 3, it says, the same gospel was preached unto us as unto them, talking about in the wilderness. The same gospel was preached unto us as unto them, but it profited them nothing, not being mixed with faith in them. that heard it. Be careful what you hear. Be careful how you hear, is what Jesus said in the Gospels. So it's time for us to make a decision and a choice that we're going to not just reject wrong technology that will bring us into bondage, but we're going to begin to accept heaven's technology that will bring us into becoming partakers of the divine nature, that we might then become carriers of the glory to release the decided will of God into the earth, that God's will might be done in earth, in your earthen vessel, as it is in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to close out in worship and prophetic prayer, so don't turn this off, because I don't want you to miss a visitation of what God's going to release by impartation that will become, if you choose to carry it, a habitation in your life as you become a carrier of His glory and you get upgraded, not just a human, but become partakers of the divine nature, Christ in you, the hope of glory, as you go beyond human instead of becoming transhuman. I'm David, this is my lovely wife.
Joanna.
We are the Hair Obedience, virtualchurchmedia.com. Download the app and get on demand from the palm of your hand, accelerated growth using technology, including a 1-year Bible reading program, because the most important thing you'll ever have beyond that initial relationship with Jesus, where that's not the climax, that's a flashpoint that begins your journey, but being transformed through the renewing of your mind, through the washing of the water of the Word, because the B-I-B-L-E, the basic instructions before leaving earth, are so important for your journey. Get it online, get it in the written form, however you get the Word of God in to transform you so you can hear properly, and the way you hear, you're catapulted through every line of the enemy's defense, and you become a partaker of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, he's a new species of being. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. If you've never accepted and received Jesus, never responded to the RSVP to be at the wedding supper of the Lamb and the Bride, you're the Bride, He's the Lamb, He's inviting you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open that door, he'll come in through the wall, and he'll come in through the door, and he'll have a table of peace. If you've never accepted Jesus, or if you want to rededicate your life to Him, let's do that now. You're invited. Just say these words. Say, Jesus, I blew it, I messed up, my best thinking got me here. Deliver me from my stinking thinking. Come into my life, cleanse me with your shed blood. Make me anew. Give me a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. Transform me. Deliver me from being transhuman, that I might become superhuman, beyond human, with the divine nature of your Son. Holy Spirit, come. Fill me with your power and your love, that I might fulfill my assignment and destiny with the gifts you've given me in the earth. I receive this right now. In Jesus' name. I see some of you, like a weight is lifted off your shoulders. Others, your mind is like clearing for the first time. And Nebuchadnezzar came to himself in the wilderness. His mind was restored unto him. God's restoring. I see others that have had things happen to you medically, where you were injected with things, some against your will, some by choice. Some were pharmaceutical in nature. God's cleansing that out of your system. He's even cleansing the mark of the enemy that's been upon your life. The stain of sin, like no longer will you wear a scarlet letter in your community. because he's washed you and cleansed you today. He's cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. He's put in the sea of forgetfulness and put up a sign. The sign says, no fishing. Don't you fish. When the enemy tries to remind you about your past, just know it's in the sea of forgetfulness. And remind him of his future. He was cast into the lake of fire. And whom the sun sets free is free indeed. If you got born again, write it in the chat there or leave a comment or email us at info@virtualchurchmedia.com. info@virtualchurchmedia.com. And we'll send you some materials at no charge. The gospel's free. It does cost money to wage war on the devil. The gospel is free. And when you're born again, you want to pay it forward. Thank you, Lord. Joanna, are you getting any? I see God healing a person's vision and restoring the vision right now, specifically in one eye. It's an optical. What is that? The thing I see. Lord, I thank you for just like dialing in. It was cloudy and blurry. The Lord just dialing it in. Supernaturally. We thank God for technology. But God is the ultimate author and finisher. And today he's releasing a supernatural healing into your eye and just causing it to become crystal clear as a testimony of his goodness. And don't limit God. They limited him. They limited the Holy One of Israel in the wilderness. They tempted him, So just take off the limitations. Even as God did that miracle for that man in Victorville with no eardrums, it was born without him, but God, he could hear. I mean, and his wife was like shocked. And he was just like wide-eyed. And we didn't find out until later he had no ear parts. And so God's not limited. He's just so unlimited. If you need new kidneys, if you need a new heart, maybe it's not a heart transplant you need from the hospital, God will just give you a new heart. I remember I just saw somebody on social media. It was about 17 years ago. They came into the prison. They were a pastor. And they had an incurable heart condition and were expected not to live, you know, another 3 or 4 months. And his son-in-law asked me to come over to pray. And I went to pray. And as I laid my hand on his chest in the visiting room, you're not really supposed to visit with other people's guests in the visiting room. There's cameras and everything. As I did, the power of God hit him and he went, ooh! And the guard looked at me and I looked over and he didn't know whether I punched him or what was going on. I looked over at the guard like, you know, this is all okay. And the guard gave me grace because he knew me. And it would be very out of character if I went and punched somebody else's, you know, visitor guest. And so then he was concerned maybe it was a medical issue. And all of a sudden the guy began to cry. And as he began to cry, the wife began to look up and she saw, she knew. He went back to the doctor and he got a new heart from the Lord. When I got out of prison, I went to go preach. It was a Baptist church. And so when I got there, you know, it was not an environment that was really that conducive to miracles in the natural. But God showed up and God began to heal a person with bone on bone in their shoulder, and miracles began to happen and call people forward. As we were leaving, and this is, I guess, how they do it in this denomination, he brought me all the way back before anybody exited the service. So the pastor or the guest speaker shakes everybody's hand. You shake and you kind of pull them forward. You shake and you pull them forward. Anyway, this man came and I went to shake and I held him and he looked at me. And I said, what do you need from the Lord? And his wife looked. And he goes, I'm okay. She says, no. He has the same incurable heart condition as the pastor had. And you could see the fear on her face that she was going to lose her husband, lose her safety and security of financial. And I said, can I pray for you? And she was like, yes, please. And so his wife positioned him to get a touch from the Lord that day. And as I laid my hand on him and she leaned in, the power of God hit. And we all buckled in together, the three of us, it almost knocked us all off our feet. And the power of God hit him, and he went, ooh, same sound. And we all began to cry, and she got set free from the spirit of fear and the fear of abandonment, and he got a creative miracle. And 2 weeks later, I got an email. He got a similar miracle from the Lord, but his wife got delivered at the same time he got delivered. So God is so unlimited. We were just down at an event, and I prayed for a woman, and you can sometimes tell when people are going to be susceptible and fall out into the power. So I asked the two sisters or whatever, I said, could you stand behind her? I just sense God's power is going to hit her. And so I prayed for her, and nothing happened. And we were at a hotel. There was, I think, maybe 1,500 people in this event, maybe 1,000, 1,500. And we were back there. And so I got done, and the Holy Spirit said, blow on her. So I blew the Ruach of God. So receive the Holy Spirit. And nothing happened. And I thought, okay, well, yeah. The Lord all said, bam, she's down. I mean, like, gone. Like, she didn't drop, like, a little wobbly and fall. It's like, whoom. And when I saw her originally, I saw her falling like this other woman that I know from another city. And I said, okay, God's going to do something. Anyway, so she's crumpled on the floor and she's like gone. And somebody else is like, do I need to call 911? I'm like, no, she's fine. And there was a lot of Christians there. And I had to explain to her that she fell out under the power. It was like a teachable moment for them to recognize that God works in different ways. God put Adam to sleep and then took out a rib, did surgery. God did a spiritual surgery on her. So then security shows up. I'm like, no, she just out under the power. You know. So she got up about 10 minutes later and they got her to a chair, and she was radically touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this happens in the highways, on the byways. It shouldn't happen occasionally. It should happen regularly. Because a tree is known by its fruit, and if you walk in proximity with Jesus, great things will happen. And sometimes it causes great controversy. Jesus was controversial. And so not everyone that sees healings is happy about it. But they'll be happy when they got healed, and you'll be happy because you obeyed the Lord. Joanna?
No, I don't really have a thing right now.
Well, we'll see you guys next week. We love you in the Lord. Be strong and in the power of his might. And remember, great things are on the horizon because God is upgrading you to the DNA of Christ, the divine nature of the Almighty, because you've become a partaker of the divine nature through the exceedingly great and precious promises of God. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
We'll see you next time.